Today is the James of Lord Vamanadeva. We are reading from the Bhagavatam pastime of Vamanadeva. Today is also the appearance day of Jiva Goswami. Very important acharya in our line, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, who contributed so much regarding the literatures, the philosophies. He was probably the greatest, maybe one of the greatest scholars ever. Prabhupada said he was the greatest scholar. And even today, the scholars and pundits recognize Jiva Goswami's works, especially his Harinam Yakrana. So, Jiva Goswami was Rupa and Siddhartha were his uncles. And his father was Anupam, later became Ballabha. Mahaprabhu gave him the name Ballabha. But Mahaprabhu visited them when they were living in Ramakeli. Ramakeli is Malda. You go to Kanai Nathshala, it's on the way to Kanai Nathshala. Famous for its mangoes. But Rupa and Sanatana were serving there under the Nabab Saint Shah at that time. And they were the ministers. Rupa and Sanatana were ministers, a very big position. Jiva Goswami was just a very small child at that time. But Mahaprabhu came there to favor them. And they surrendered at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu, and he gave their blessings, they could join, or they could go to Vrindavan and devote their time to glorifying the process of bhakti as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they spent time in Vrindavan. And Jiva Goswami also joined them there later. They said ever since that time Mahaprabhu visited and bless the brothers. There was a whole mood of renunciation setting. They left their government posts and everything like that. Went to join Mahaprabhu. The same with Jiva Goswami, although he was only a small toddler, he became completely indifferent to the world at that time. Actually, Mahaprabhu also appeared in his dream. But he would never play mundane games with the other boys. He was always very serious. He had little Krishna and Balaram deities he would make, and he would just sing with Krishna and Balaram and worship Krishna and Balaram. And he was always full of intense separation from Mahaprabhu. And nobody could console him. He was just absorbed in moods of separation, and Rupa and Sanatana had left, and Mahaprabhu had left. So as he grew a little bit older, he wanted to go to Navadvip to see Nityananda Prabhu. And so, although he was a very young man at that time, But anyway, the village people thought this is very good for him. It'd be good for him because he's sitting here lamenting all the time, and it's so better he goes and fulfills his desires and sees Mahaprabhu. So then Jiva Goswami came to Navadvip, constantly chanting the names of Gauranga and the Thai on the way. And the moment he saw Navadvip from the distance, he just fell unconscious. Then he came into Barakronagat. He arrived there and he was asking anybody, does anybody know Nityananda Prabhu? Can you take me to Nityananda Prabhu? And actually, Nityananda Prabhu had sent some devotees to meet him. His Nityananda was sitting within Shivashangam or Satyamati's house, just chanting Krishna's name. Then he started laughing. And he said, "One great devotee is coming, you should go and meet him." The Bamsi Nandan Das Thakur, who was the servant of Vishnupriya and Satyamata, who was an incarnation of Krishna's flute, he went there, and just by seeing Jiva Goswami, he said, "This must be the person Mahaprabhu was talking about." So the devotees, he fell at the devotee's feet and he said, "Please, you know, without your mercy, how can I ever attain my goal of life? Please be merciful upon me." So everybody recognized he was great exalted qualities, so they took him to Nityananda Prabhu. And again, he fainted when he saw Nityananda Prabhu. Then Nityananda Prabhu picked him up and he actually embraced him. No, he put his feet on his head first. And he picked him up and embraced him very tightly, shedding torrents of tears. Actually by the grace of Jiva Goswami, because he asked Mahaprabhu, he asked Nityananda Prabhu to explain to him the glories of Navadvipa. So Nityananda Prabhu said, "Okay, I'll take you on the pikram of Navadvipa." And due to this incident, now it's been recorded, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has recorded that incident in the Navadvipa Mahapanya. So much revelation has come that through this parikram that has been recorded by the face of Jiva Goswami and Nityananda Prabhu. They reveal the glories of Navadvipa. Then Nityananda Prabhu asked him to go to Vrindavan and he can serve under Rupa and Sanatana. So he went there and he served. And Jiva Goswami, he got all the... Because the ghosts, Rupa and Sanatana, were instructed Mahaprabhu to go and elaborate on the science of bhakti, you know, with authoritative quotations from the different shastras. So this is what they were doing. They were getting so many references from the shastras to back up Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, all of Mahaprabhu's statements of what is the actual essence of shastra, bringing one to the point of bhakti. Otherwise, when you read Nectar of Devotion, something like that, you never see any quotes practically from Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu said to this. Whereas we can quote directly from Mahaprabhu, we have hundreds of millions of instructions from Mahaprabhu, what he wanted, and we can quote. But because Mahaprabhu was not very well accepted, he's not very well known as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. He's often known as a great saint who appeared in West Bengal. And his name is mentioned secretly in the shastras. So they could quote Mahaprabhu all the time. That's all they were doing anyway. They were thinking of Mahaprabhu. And anybody who met Mahaprabhu, anybody who has had the association of Mahaprabhu, they couldn't forget him practically for one second. They were constantly absorbed in meditation on Mahaprabhu. So they could have quoted Mahaprabhu, and it's perfectly, all the devotees would be in complete bliss hearing all the different statements of Mahaprabhu. But they got all the quotes from the different Vedas and the Upanishads and things like that, so there now you have to believe it. This is the science of bhakti, this is what the Shastra is talking about. So they brought out all these points with authoritative statements from all the different Vedas, therefore the scholars and pundits, they have to accept the science of bhakti is the ultimate goal of the Vedas to understand Krishna. So Jiva Goswami, he systematically compiled all the writings of Rupa Goswami of Mahaprabhu. And this was the first time actually that they had been systematically been compiled, all of his teachings. So this was the credit of Sri Jiva Goswami. And then after that, he sent all those teachings with Shamananda and Srinivas and Narottam Das Thakur to Bengal and Orissa to publicate. Now that it was all written down, it was all systematically written. So now we had some positive compilations of Mahaprabhu's teachings and pastimes, etc. So that was his great contribution, one of his greatest contributions. One of the pastimes he had there when Rupa Goswami was, he was compiling Nectar of Devotion, and one Vallabhacharya devotee came, and he was a senior devotee, so Rupa Goswami offered him respects, and he showed him his manuscripts. And he said, yes, I'll look at this, I'll make a few corrections, I can see there are a few things to be corrected, I can elaborate and give some corrections. And then, so Jiva Goswami was a little bit angry, there's no fault in Rupa and Sanatana's work, in Rupa's work. So when Vallabhacharya went to the Jamuna to take bath, and Jiva went with him, and then he started to talk to him, but you know, there is no mistake in his writings. So then they started to discuss it, and Jiva Goswami pointed out, you know, there was no fault at all. So then they started debating on so many other points, and Jiva Goswami defeated him every time. So when he came back to the Rupa's ashram, and he was praising, you know, Jiva Goswami, he's a great scholar, he's great. He was pointing out where I was wrong and on the different points. And Rupa became a little bit angry with Jiva. He was feigning anger that, you know, this is why we have come here, to defeat people and show how good scholars we are. He's a senior devotee. Of course, he was actually happy that Sri Jiva was actually establishing the truth. But to set an example, he pretended to be a little bit angry. This is not what Vrindavan is for, to come and show your scholarship and in defeating different scholars. And this is not what Vrindavan is for. So you better leave this place and go somewhere else. So Jiva Goswami took it very seriously, although his heart was broken, and he went and lived on the outskirts, a little way away from the Rupa and Sanatana. He said he was living in a crocodile hole in the ground that the crocodiles make holes sometimes, so he was living there. And he was living very, very austerely, completely austerely, lost all of his body was so thin, and he was just about existing there, but he was writing very beautiful poetry and things like that, which he put in the Jamuna, and it floated down, and Sanatana Goswami, who happened to be taking a bath in the Jamuna, he saw these leaves with the writing, Sanskrit writing. He looked, it was beautiful writing. He was just attracted by the writing, how beautiful it was. So he picked it up, and when he read it, wow, this is very, this is all top devotional. I wonder who's written this. He said, there's only one person practically who could write something like that, that'd be Jiva Goswami. So then he went to do his madhu curry, and he said, Mataji, give me his buttermilk or his roti, whatever he was asking. He said, okay, wait a minute, I'm coming. So he's waiting, Mataji, give, come on, give, someday, give. I'm coming, she said, wait a minute. Mother, please come, I cannot wait any longer. So she comes out. Wait, what is this? Keep waiting. Our Baba, he never complains. He never complains if we have to keep him waiting. Our Baba, why you are not like a real sadhu Baba? You are complaining. Our Baba. He said, who is your Baba? He said, our Baba is there. He lives in the crocodile hole. So he said, take me to him. I want to see him. So then he saw the state of Jiva Goswami. It was practically like a skeleton. Almost dead, practically. So then he took him back to Rupa. Back to their ashram, and he said, Sanatan said to Rupa, what is Mahaprabhu's main teaching? And Rupa said, Jiva Daya. He said, then, Lord Jivan, have Daya on this Jiva, have mercy on this Jiva, look, he's almost dead. So then personally they looked after him with their own hands, they fed him, and he became fit and well again. Jiva Goswami was said to be a Bilasa Manjari in Krishna Leela. So he's one of the intimate servants of Radha and Krishna and Rupa Manjari. Shri Rupa Goswami ki? Shri Vamana Dwadasi ki? Okay, we read the story of Lord Vamanadev. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8. Chapter 18, text number 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yat Tad Bapur Bhati Vibhushanayudhaya Avyakta Chidvyaktam Adharayad Dhari Bhavuva Tanoiva Sa Bhamano Bhatu Sampashato Dibyagatir Jata Nata Yatat Bapur Bhati Vibhushanayam Avyakta Chidvyaktam Madaraya Dari Babu Vatanaiva Savamano Vatu Sampashvata Divagati Jatanataha Yatad Vapu Vati Vibhushanayodaya Avyakta Chidvaktam Mabaraya Dari Vabhu Vatanaiva Sabhamano Vatu Sampashvata Divyagati Jatanatha Yatad Vapur Bhati Vibhushanayudhe Avyakta Chidvyaktam Madharaya Tari Bhabhu Vateneva Sabhamano Vatu Sampashyato Divagati Jatanatha Bhapurvati Vibhushanayudhaya Avyakta Chidvaktam Madhaya Tari With regular ornaments, ayudhai, and with weapons, avyakta, unmanifested, chitvaktam, spiritually manifested, adharayat, assumed, chitvaktam, hari, the Lord, babhuva, immediately became. Tena, with that, eva, certainly, saha, he the Lord, bamana, dwarf, batu, a brahmana brahmachari, sampashato, while both his father and mother were seen, divogati, whose movements are wonderful. Jata, as Nata, a theatrical actor. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, the Vaicharanada Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki. The Lord appeared in His original form with ornaments and weapons in His hands. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, He nonetheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmana dwarf, a Brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Please repeat. The Lord appeared in his original form, with ornaments and weapons in his hands. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, he nonetheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmana dwarf, a Brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Purport. The word Nata is significant. An actor changes dress to play different parts, but is always the same man. Similarly, as described in the Brahma Samhita, the Lord assumes many thousands and millions of forms. Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam, Adyam, Purana, Purusham, Navajuvanamscha, Videshudulabam, Adulabam, Atmapatto, Govindamadi, Purusham, Tamaham, Vajam. He is always present in innumerable incarnations. Ramadi Mutishu Kalani Matishtam Nana Patara Makaroku Veneshukintu Naswayam Sambhavat Paramapamam Yo Govindamadi Purusham. Nonetheless, although he appears in various incarnations, they are not different from one another. He is the same person, with the same potency, the same eternity, the same spiritual existence, but he can simultaneously assume various forms. When Vamanadeva appeared from the womb of his mother, he appeared in the form of Narayana, with four hands equipped with the necessary symbolic weapons. And then immediately transformed himself into a Brahmachari, Vatu. This means that his body is not material. One who thinks that the Supreme Lord assumes a material body is not intelligent. He has to learn more about the Lord's position, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Janama Kama Chami Devyam Ivam Yo Veditat Vata. One has to understand the transcendental appearance of the Lord in his original transcendental body, Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Janam Janam Shalakaya Chakshuru Miritandina Tasmaya Shri Guru Yunaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivashari Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So Srila Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, very important point, how God is one. We always hear it, God is one, but it seems very confusing because he has so many different forms, and so many people around the world are worshipping different forms, and they're saying, my God is the only God, and the other one is saying, my God is the only God. But actually God is one. There is only one God. There cannot be two gods. Except when he desires to become two, all three, all millions, Ramadi Murtishu, he has unlimited, Advaita Machuti Manadi Manantarupa, unlimited forms he has, but they're all one. The Brahma Samhita gives a nice example. You have many candles, and you have one candle light. You light this candle, this candle, this candle. You can go on lighting many candles. And they're all equal in candle power. This original candle and this one, they're all equal. There's no difference in candle power, the light and energy that's coming. But there wasn't an original light that lighted all the others. So that is Krishna. So that is the original form of Godhead. Ekliha Krishna Shaptapitta. And all the other forms, they're Krishna himself, but they come to serve Krishna in these different pastimes. So he assumes different forms in different ages for different pastimes, for different reasons. We know the reasons generally is to establish religion and kill the irreligion that becomes prominent in the world. So he could come anytime in a form of Vishnu. Everybody knows that Narayan is the Supreme God. And he always often comes in his form of Narayan with four arms, riding on Garuda. But variety is the spice of life, so sometimes Krishna doesn't come as God. He comes in the form of a dwarf, or he comes in the form of a pig, or he comes in the form of a boar, or he comes in the form of a tortoise. He can come any way he likes, so this variety is there. And they're all suitable for the time and circumstance. See, a pig, the earth has fallen to the bottom of the universe, the Garbhodaka ocean, that's in the bottom of the ocean, on the bottom of any river, all the sediment is there. It decomposes, but because there's no air there, it smells. It's called panka. The lotus is called panka because it grows in that smelly on the bank of the river. Or on the bottom of the river, not on the bank. You're advised to go to the river or Kunda, take mud from the bank of the river and rub it over your body. I went with Padmalotion one time to Vrinda Kunda, and there's another Kunda behind it, Gupta Kunda or something. So he said, this is what you do. So he went and he got some mud and he rubbed it all over his body. And so I went in the middle of the Kunda and I got some mud, it was all black, and I put it and I go, "Ooh, smells like anything." He said, "No, you're not supposed to take the middle, you're supposed to take on the bank, because all the dead stuff falls and it starts rotting on the, it's smelly." So it's called panka. So at that time, due to the, I think it was the Hiranyaksha, he had taken all the gold, I think he had stored it in one place, and the earth got off balance, so it sunk in the ocean, and the universe is like a football, half full of water. So it sunk in the water and sunk to the bottom. It's all smelly stuff. So now the demigods prayed, "You've got to do something, you know, we're in a big..." So then Krishna, how is he going to pick that earth out of that smelly substance? Who will do that? The punky, stinky stuff. So pigs, they love the stinky stuff, right? they're quite at home in the ditches. You see them in Vrindavan in the dirty ditches and eating all that stuff. So this is quite a suitable form, you know. He dives in the water and he goes in that smelly stuff. He likes that. And then he finds the earth and he brings the earth out. So these are very, very uncommon pastimes of the Lord. So he assumes these forms just to perform wonderful pastimes. So the Lord is known as Urukram, Trivikram. Very uncommon pastimes he performs. Very, very uncommon. So this is a very uncommon pastime. This is such a wonderful story because here the Lord is appearing as a dwarf. Generally, a dwarf, they're uncivilized. Uncivilized, but not perfectly manifested. In the progression, like Darwin's theory, he stole that theory from the Padma Purana, but he got the theory right. The progression he got right, actually, but he missed the point of the soul. But from aquatics, then from like mammals and then the different species were created. So first aquatic is there, right? First that's the fish, Matsya avatar, then the boar boar is next. Tortoise, yeah, amphibious, so he can live in either place. So he comes out of the water. Then the boar, he's like, I don't know, he likes the land and the muck and things like that. And then the Shingadev, animal but half man, now coming more civilized, half man. Then Brahmana dead. Brahmana dead, yeah? So not quite civilized, dwarf, not like human, not funny. Then after that, yes, then come Parasram. Then Krishna, and then Ramchandra, perfect. So it's a progression like that. So here, dwarf is generally not considered very, not a good birth, right? You've got some bad karma to be born a dwarf. But when Krishna's born as a dwarf, he gets worshipped. So he appears as a dwarf. Why? I didn't know. Because he's just a little boy also. It's so uncommon, this pastime. But because he's a little boy, what can he do? And apart from that, he's a dwarf. So generally, you don't give much credit to a dwarf. He doesn't have much potency. But this little boy, he has so much potency that he sticks his toe throughout the universe. This is how uncommon it is. A little brahmachari dwarf, and all of a sudden, he sticks his toe right through the universe. So Urukran, Chivikran, very, very uncommon pastime. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur often used to quote Chivikran. Vamana, he's a little dwarf, what can he do, small boy? But what did he do? So he said, this is the Lord we have behind us. This is our Lord who we worship. So never, never underestimate the potency that's in the Lord. And he's the one who's behind us. So he used to, especially for the preachers, when you're preaching, understand who's behind you. That person who has very, very uncommon activities. There's actually nothing he can't accomplish. You think it's difficult to do some preaching aspects. But you understand who's behind you, then you'll have full confidence. You can go and be very bold and preach because you know who's behind you, that person who, if he wants, he can step across the universe. So this is Krishna, this is who we are worshipping. So this is the potency of a devotee. He has the potency of the Lord behind him. If he has that conviction and faith, what can he not achieve? He can achieve wonderful things for the satisfaction of Krishna. So here, Lord Vamana's being born. He was born because of the prayers of Aditi. She was praying. She wanted, because she's the mother of the demigods. The demigods were in trouble. They were being defeated by Bali and the demons. They were actually being defeated. Previous to this, there was another big battle, universal battle. And all the big demons were there, and all the demigods were there. And at that time, Bali, the demons, the demigods won, and Indra killed Bali. And then they were, all the dead people were taken away by Shukracharya, who's the priest of the demons, Shukracharya. So then he had that, what's it called, Jivani? Brings you back to life. What's it called? Sajivani. So he had that power and potency he could bring, so he bought all the big, the ones that hadn't lost. If they couldn't find any heads or things that they couldn't bring them back, if they got the heads and pieces, they could bring them back. And he brought them all to life again. So he brought Bali Maharaj back to life. So Bali, naturally, he was very happy. He would be if he suddenly find himself alive again after being killed. So he's very much indebted to Shukracharya, and he surrendered to him, and he became his disciple. And he became very obedient. And Shukracharya is coming in the line of Bhrigu Muni, very powerful universal sage. And Bhrigu Muni was very pleased Bali had become a disciple in their disciplic succession. All the Brahmins were very pleased, the great king Bali. And because they were so pleased that he was their disciple, he had taken shelter in their sampradaya and taken shelter of Shukracharya, all the Bhrigu and all the Brahmins gave his blessings. And so he had brahminical power. He got their tejas. So that's why he was so powerful. Couldn't be defeated. And so the demigods, what are we going to do then? Because, you know, he attacked the demons when he became strong. He formed his armies again, many, many hundreds of years, thousands of years later, I guess. Again, they attacked. But this time, nobody could get near him. He was so, so powerful, so strong. Demigods couldn't do anything. So they went, asked Brihaspati, what's happening? How come he's so powerful? He threw his raja, his thunderbolt. Nothing can stop that weapon. But one demon he threw at didn't even hurt him. It bounced off him. That's what cut the neck of Ritasura off. That big, big demon. It took a year to do that. Very powerful weapon. It did bounce off one of the demon's necks. Everything had lost all power. What's happening? So they went to Brihaspati. Brihaspati, yeah, that's their guru, I guess. How come he's become so powerful? They said, because he's got Brahmanical pages behind him, he's got all the Brigal's potency behind him. You're not going to defeat him. It's not possible. You won't defeat him. They've given you their blessings. Time is not right. You've got to wait for a good time to come. My advice, you all disappear. You leave this place and disappear by your own potency, because demigods have that potency. So they all became invisible and they all left. So Bali was there, he was Indra, right? He was on top of the Indra's throne and he was the king of the universe. He conquered the universe. He had no problem. All the demigods had hidden out of sight. They were all scared. So, yeah, so then Aditi, she's the mother of the demigods. She says, where's all my children? They've all disappeared. I can't see them anymore. She had motherly affection for everyone. Where are my children? Well, that Bali, he's caused them all to go and hide. So nobody can do anything about it. Only if the Supreme Lord himself comes, he can do something. So then she did a vrata, that payo, what's it called, vrata? And she actually pleased Vishnu before, and he appeared before her. And he said, I know your desires. I'll try to satisfy you. Somehow or another, I have to satisfy your desire. You want your sons. You want to see your sons again. So I'll try to satisfy your desire. So then she performed. Then the Lord appeared to Aditi as her son, as Vamana did. First he appeared as Lord Vishnu. It's like Krishna when he appeared to Devaki, he appeared as Vishnu. Then he became Krishna. Two arms. He said, I'm showing you this form, otherwise you may not believe me. I'm showing you I'm the Supreme Lord Narayana with four arms. So similarly here, he's showing his Supreme Personality of God. Then he transforms himself into a dwarf. So this is the appearance of Vamanadev. This is called this is the Vijaya, it's called Abhijit. Abhijit is the auspicious time. It said, O King, when the Lord appeared on the Dwadasi, the 12th day of the moon, the sun was at the meridian. As every learned scholar knows, this Dwadasi is called Vijaya. So this is today. He appears at noontime and all the conch shells, drums, kettle drums, the panavas, the anakas vibrated in a great concert. The sound of these and various instruments was a tumultuous sound, and everybody became pleased with the appearance of Lord Vamanadeva. And the apsaras, the dancing girls, the Gandhavas, who sang songs, and all the different demigods appeared, showering the house of Aditi with flowers. Our Lord Vamana had just assumed the form. And then the sacred thread ceremony was performed for Vamana Dev at the time of birth. The sun god personally uttered the Gayatri mantra, Brihaspati offered the sacred thread, and Kashyapa Muni offered a straw belt. Mother Earth gave him a deer skin, and the demigod of the moon, who was the king of the forest, gave him a Brahmadanda, the rod of a brahmachari. His mother, Aditi, gave him cloth for underwear, and the deity presiding over the heavenly kingdoms offered him an umbrella. O king, Lord Brahma offered a water pot to the inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead. The seven sages offered him kusha grass. Mother Saraswati gave him a string of Rudraksha beads. When Vamanadeva had thus been given the sacred thread, Kuvara, the king of the Yakshas, gave him a pot for begging alms. And Mother Bhagavati, the wife of Lord Shiva, the most chaste mother of the universe, gave him his first alms. Thus, having been welcomed by everyone, Lord Vamanadeva, the best of the brahmacharis, exhibited his Brahman effulgence. Thus he surpassed in beauty that entire assembly, which was filled with great assembly of saintly brahmanas. He exhibited his Brahman effulgence, thus he surpassed the beauty of the entire assembly. Lord Vamanadeva actually is also famous for his beauty. This is one of the great opulences that Vamanadeva manifested, his beauty. Everybody was completely attracted to his beauty. Children are attractive anyway. Small children. There's a saying in Bengal, Prabhupada used to quote. Even if they look like a dog, they're ugly. If they're youthful, they're beautiful. When they're young, their movements and their activities and their words, they're beautiful. What to speak of, they've got personal beauty as well. So Vamanadeva, he was so beautiful as a baby. And he was manifesting his opulence, street, beautiful features of Vamanadeva. Everyone was captivated by him. You imagine ordinary little children, you see, imagine seeing Vamanadeva's little lotus feet, little soft lotus feet. They must be so lovely, right? So attractive. And especially for the mothers, captivating. I was in someone's house, Dairam's house, taking prasad, and Panjanetra, a little boy. He was playing harmonium and he was just wailing out, you know, completely. Little kids, you know, it's completely innocent, but they're just wailing out, chanting Jai Radha Madhava or something like that. And I said, well, I've read about, how household life with the children, it can become so captivating for the parents. I said, and you're living with this whole day long. I'm almost melting seeing the beauty of this little kid and playing. I'm almost melting. And you're living with the whole day long. And his mother said, yeah, it's exactly like that. Nothing you can do about it. They're so attractive children. And they're sold out. So here, Vamanadeva was so beautiful. And Bali's sister actually was so attracted to this. She said, I want to become his mother. She was so attracted and parental. I want to become his mother. Of course, after the whole history of this, Bali was arrested and tied up, and then he was pushed down to Patalaloka. Krishna put him in Patalaloka. Of course, Krishna was also there with him. He stays on the same planet with him. But then his sister became very angry. Oh, that nice little boy, I thought he was such a sweet brahmacharya. Look what he's done to my brother. He's put him down in Patalaloka. I want to kill him now. So she made a curse, I want to kill him. So later on she took birth as Putana. So she could do two things. She was the mother of Krishna. She acted as a mother by offering her breast milk. Simultaneously she wanted to kill him. because Bali is coming from the demoniac family. Prahlad, of the demons, I am Prahlad, because he is from the demoniac family. He is the grandfather of Bali. Prahlad is the grandfather of Bali. But Krishna promised, I think after, I'm not sure, after he killed Hiranyakashipu maybe. Anyway, he said, I won't kill any more demons in your family. So therefore he didn't kill Bali or anything like that. So yeah, this such a little attractive boy, and then the Lord, he had heard Bali Maharaj performing the Ashwamedha sacrifice with all the Bhrigu dynasty brahmanas. So then he went to see that sacrifice to show his mercy to Bali Maharaj, and with every step the earth was, he pushed the earth down with every step. Little boy. One step, it was so powerful. It just moved the earth with every step. So while engaged in performing the sacrifice in the field known as the Bhrigukacha on the northern bank of the Narmada River, the Brahminical priest, the descendants of Bhrigu, saw Vamanadeva to be like the sun rising nearby. O King, because of Vamanadeva's bright effulgence, the priests, along with Bali Maharaj and all the members of the assembly, were robbed of their splendor. They began to ask one another whether it was the sun god himself, Shanat Kumar, or the fire god had personally come. While the priests of the Bhrigu dynasty and their disciples talked and argued in various ways, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, holding in his hands a rod, the umbrella, and the water pot full of water, enter the arena of the Ashwamedha sacrifice. So then everybody stood up and respected, and they could appreciate his effulgence, his beauty. Brahmana, Brahmachari. And so then Vamanadeva, he began to glorify Bali Maharaj and the descendants of Bali Maharaj. How you had those big heroes, you know, how your descendants, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, such great soldiers. Vishnu was scared, that he was actually scared. They were big demons. So much prowess he had. Hiranyaka, he wandered around the universe with a club alone. Nobody could fight with him. Then that Vishnu, he chased after Vishnu. Vishnu became scared. In the end, he said, he must be dead, because I've searched the whole universe, I can't see him anywhere. I mean, he must be dead. Great, great personalities in your line is very powerful. Even God himself was scared of them. So he was going on praising the dynasty, how great the heroes they were, and how they never gave, never refused anything in charity. Anyway, I want to beg charity. So Bali, yes, you can have what you want. I can give you a kingdom. No, I just want a little 3 steps of land. No, come on, you're just a little boy. You should ask for something greater than that. I can give you a varsha. I own the different varshas on this, in this universe. Lord Rama said, if I'm not satisfied with 3 steps of land, I'm not going to be satisfied with the whole varsha. Brahmana should be satisfied with whatever he gets. If you're not satisfied with 3 steps, what are you going to be satisfied with? So he said, you know, you're a little boy, you're not very educated, but you should ask, you know, I'm the king of the universe, you should ask something substantial from me. So anyway, finally he said, okay, that's all you want. I'll give you whatever you like, you can take. Whatever you like, you can take. So then Shukracharya, the priest, he said, hey, he's Vishnu. You know, this little dwarf is Vishnu. He's going to come and, you know what he'll do? He'll take everything away from you. I know, because he could see Sri Kalagya. He said he's going to take the whole universe in 3 steps. And where are you going to put the 3rd step? You know, he's not going to be able to even pay. You're not even be able to fulfill your promise to give 3 steps. Anyway, you can tell lies in certain conditions, and he gave so many examples. How you can tell lies, or you can refuse to you can say no. You can say no if certain things are, and he gave him so many, many excuses. How he could refuse to give that charity. He's going to take everything from you. He's going to take your whole empire. You're not a king anymore. How humiliated it will be for you. So Bali was thinking, well, if he is Vishnu, then actually the duty is to surrender completely to Vishnu, so that should be the main consideration here. So then he said, you know, I'm sorry, Guru, I'm respecting you for everything you're saying, I appreciate everything you're saying, but still I don't think I should tell a lie. You know, I'm the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, and Mother Earth says I can bear any weight, but I cannot bear the weight of a person who tells a lie. How can I tell a lie when my grandfather Prahlad is here? So anyway, I'm respecting your advice, but I will go ahead and fulfill the desire of the dwarf. So then Strukacharya became really angry. Okay, I'm taking back all my Brahmanical prowess. Because he was in that position that as the king because of his Brahmanical tejas from Bhrigu Muni. So when Vamanadeva appeared to Aditi, he said, I'll find some ways and means to get your sons back. So this was the ways and means. He said, he can't be beaten because he's got the Brahmanical power, but if that Brahmanical power was removed, then he can be defeated. So this was the trick of Vamanadeva. The whole Leela. So then Strukacharya got really angry. I'm removing all that Brahmanical power. Give us back my blessings and my potencies. He withdrew it all from Vamanadeva, from Bali. So then he lost his potency, the Brahmanical potency. Then he could be defeated. So then he actually tied up. Vamanadeva had him arrested after he extended his foot throughout the universe, poked his toe in the through the universe. The Ganga came through due to the glories of Vamanadeva. So, because he disobeyed the order of the spiritual master, then all of his potency was lost, and the Shukacharya said, then now everything will be lost, all of your opponents will be lost. So, everything was taken. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead was superficially seen to have acted mischievously towards Bali, because he tied him up and he said he has to go to Patalaloka, Bali Maharaj was fixed in his determination. Considering himself not to have fulfilled his promise, he spoke as follows. Bali Maharaj said, O best personality of Godhead, O most worshipful of all demigods, if you think that my promise has become false, I shall certainly rectify matters to make it truthful. I cannot allow my promise to be false. Therefore, place your third lotus footstep on my head. Vamanadeva ki. So, Bali Maharaj became Mahajana, because he surrendered everything. He's the aspect of surrendering everything to the Lord. We have the nine angas of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vishnu Parasevanam, Pujana Shakijana, Atmani Vedanam. Complete surrender. So Bali Maharaj, he is the Mahajan? Or at least he's in charge of the... He represents that surrendering everything to Krishna. He surrendered everything to the lotus feet of Krishna. And he became Mahajan. Today at Abhijit time, noon. BJ Ekadasi, it's called Abhijit, noon time. This is the appearance of Vamanadeva. If you come to the temple, you can see the appearance of Vamanadeva. There will be a... Vamanadeva will appear there personally.
What time?
Yeah, 12 o'clock. When the darshan time and then Lord Vamanadeva will come, we'll offer some puja. And then you'll be able to also do some puja for Gamanadev. So be there at 12 o'clock and see the appearance of Gamanadev ki, Gamanadev si ki, Jeev Goswami ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki.